And welcome back to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, and depository service. We buy and sell forms of rare coins and precious metals, and we deal in diamonds, and we buy scrap gold, jewelry, and diamonds. And there's some I got to touch on there here in a sec. But we also, like I said, we do deal in diamonds. We buy them and we sell them. And yeah, there's a lot. Diamonds are, the value of diamonds proportionally increases based on size. So, for example, I had a gal call last week and she said she had a 1.5 carat ring. And I asked her, you know, what's the weight in, you know, small stones or large stones? And she said, oh, no, there's a very large stone in the middle and then some small stones around it. And she, you know, a lot of times, sometimes people think if they really, really sell it to you good, it's somehow going to help. Just like when people come in with counterfeit things or something, and then they'll get mad and they'll bomb us on Google for, you know, trying to rip them off or whatever. But you know, it is what it is. We're not in the business of walking people away. I mean, we don't make money if they don't. So as we talked, you know, the ring got bigger and the center stone got bigger. And then when she came in, she had less than a carat. And it was all what we call mille, which is M-E-L-E-E, which means it's small stones. It's, you know, 0.01, 0.02, 0.03 carat stuff. That stuff's not worth much at all. Like, literally, we sell it for, like, $100 a carat by the, you know, bags, or we put it in, we sell it to wholesalers and by the, you know, 100 carat lots and things like that. So if you had 100 one-hundredth carat diamonds, say it's worth $100. But if you have 1 1-carat diamond, and of course, quality matters, okay? Diamonds, it matters big time. So not all diamonds are great. And the biggest problem is, and I was going to get to the 1 carat thing, but the 1 carat, and I said quality matters because it could go anywhere from, you know, as low as, I suppose, 1,000 up to, you know, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 for an amazing 1 carat stone. That's what it's really worth. I know Zales and, you know, Fred Meyer and all those, they have stuff they charge a lot more for. But we wholesale a lot of that stuff. And diamonds in general, a lot of the major diamond mills, if you will, push a lot of stuff out there that's, it's just not good quality. It's junk. And down the road, you'll have something, but you won't have what you know, what you should have had for the money, which kind of leads me down this other trail. Impulsivity. It is really weird to me how some people, and I understand because I get busy in life too, but certain personality types will just get so impatient and they want more than anything to buy things on impulse. It's based on emotion. And maybe because I spent years in banking, and trust me, if you were in the banking the way I was, old school, training, you know, straight out of, well, out of college, I was an actuary. From there, I went into banking in a management training program, which is old school, which was awesome. I mean, you start in the morning, you collect debt. The afternoon, you learn how to make loans. And then the evenings you sell and you pick up the phone and call current existing customers and try to sell them different kinds of loans. And then along the way, you learn all the operational things. You learn everything that goes along with it. You learn all the laws and all that. But you learn to be conservative and wise. And it's interesting to me how many people just, they can't comprehend that. And so if they're out buying a diamond or something, or a ring, they'll especially young guys with their girl. If there's a young lady sitting out there that's, ever in a situation where a guy's going to get your ring and he, you know, it's one thing if he picks it out and brings it to you, but if there's guys that in gals and couples that they'll go look together, of course, some gals will force a guy way far. If your guy's not doing it, don't force him. Because trust me, those marriages don't turn out the best. But, you know, if you happen to be looking together, don't guilt trip the guy. That's what a lot of jewelers do with the, well, you know, standard expectation is to spend 2 to 3 months of your monthly income on the ring, usually three. Well, I mean, come on. There's young kids out there that are working at, you know, different medical things and whatever, making 55, 60 grand a year. 60 grand a year, that's 5,000 a month. Two times that's 10 grand. Three times that's 15 grand. That's a lot. And jewelers tell you that for an obvious reason. They sell you more, they make more. We don't do any of that. So what I was going to say is if you're out there looking, just be wise, be smart. You don't want to make it so clinical that it's no fun, but it's sort of the Consumer's Reports mentality, which I don't, you know, Consumer Reports is a very good, wise thing to have if you're buying pretty much anything they cover or study for the most part. They're not perfect, but they're nonprofit and they're also liberal, so don't give money to them. But they, you know, if you're going to buy something, use that kind of thing. And it's the same with diamonds. It's not that hard to know what you're doing and what you're looking at. Just use your head. So anyway, we do a good job, I think, of educating the buyer, taking good care of you, and no one touches our prices. And I literally mean no one. No one legal and legit. Which leads me to this other quick point. I mentioned recently this scam going around where there's an Arab guy with a Suburban or a nice brand new Tahoe, Chevy Tahoe type car. I've heard black. Today I heard from a guy white. He's got his wife and kids in the car. He's going around. He's got fake gold jewelry, okay? It's marked 18 karat, 14 karat. He's got sob stories. I tried to talk to the guy. A guy that came in today, right before the show, got hit worse than anybody I've seen. I mean, he had piles of it. He just got took to the cleaners bad. And, you know, the guy's apparently got a sob story. He's got all this stuff, but he's got his wife and kids waiting in the car. I don't know where the police are on this because we have seen so much of this stuff come in. And this guy's just taking them to the cleaners. Tells them some tough story. But, folks, I'm telling you, when it comes to buying gold or even diamonds or whatever, there's, you know, when I talk about diamonds, we wholesale them to the public. What wholesale really means is we sell them to you for what they're worth. They have a retail markup on diamonds as a general rule in the industry it's astoundingly tremendous. It's a lot. Way, way, way a lot. Okay? Jewelry, obviously the same. Coins and precious metals are not that way. There's companies all over out there, and if you're getting called by anybody to try to buy this or that set of certified coins or whatever, they're doing it. Full throttle, overpriced, crazy stuff that's hard to look up. Don't buy that way. We sell everything based on what it is worth in the marketplace. You can go on the internet and do all you want. When you get done, you're going to find out our prices are better than anything you find out there on coins and silver and gold or whatever. Because we know the market and we want to be fair. We don't want to be the high seller in the nation. We want to be the high buyer and the low seller on legitimate stuff. I'm not talking if you trip over a scratched 1 ounce silver coin in a flea market. You know, you still probably pay more there. But overall, it's our goal to be fair and honest. Honesty, integrity, and professionalism in every transaction has been our name for ages and ages and ages. Well, back to the gold, scrap gold. If it seems too good to be true, that's what I said to the guy. If it seems too good to be true, he said, quote, like, why'd you buy it? Well, it seemed too good to be true. I mean, and this time the guy apparently got into a commercial construction site which was locked, and one of the guys on the site let him in, and, I mean, because he's a slick talker. I don't know why the cops can't find this guy. I don't know if we're getting a high concentration of this stuff coming into us. It's necklaces, bracelets, rings. They're shiny, but they're not gold. Gold, they're like, they're just shiny brass. They don't even have the weight. If you don't know what you're doing, well, you shouldn't be buying it that way anyway. Send them to a professional. People are like, oh, I love, you know, oh, I don't like coin dealers. Well, I don't either. There's a lot of them out there that are not, I mean, it just, it's, you know, when I, from the day I started this business till now, when I started this business and I got going and I had a tremendous inventory, I got to the point where a bunch of coin shops in town were drawing off of my inventory. They'd come and buy from me all the time. And I'd sell to them at the same price I'd sell to the retail public. And then they'd go, of course, market up in their stores or push the grade up. And then they were trying to collude against clients that'd be selling in a state. They'd call around and tell each other ahead of time who's out there, what they got, what they offered. And then they'd split the spoils, as the Bible would call it. And I that just was not my thing. I have never engaged in that. And since I opened, I have just been an isolated island. God has blessed us. God has been great to us. We've seen ups and we've seen downs. I had years, I've had different experiences. I had years with one employee who had issues, really deep issues, and who basically sabotaged the business by, you know, part of it was ignorance, a lot of it was malicious, but just parceling out, you know, things that we'd buy for $3,000 at a grand. I know people are like, darn, where was I? You may have been there. You may have some in your portfolio. I won't tell you who it is, who did it. But that kind of stuff, it got really excessive. And it just, you know, those things, that we went a couple years where I was putting my own money into the business just to break even by the end of the year. But, you know, and we've seen the good times and the bad times, in between times. And now we got the COVID times, which is a bunch of malarkey, but so the jewelry thing, folks, just please, if you're in this area, Spokane area, there's too much of this coming in. This guy's out hustling it. They think it's the same guy. My guys, and you know, when they're hearing descriptions, it's the same guy. That guy's out hustling it. All right, that guy's got to be making thousands of dollars a day on this junk. I guarantee he's buying the stuff online for nothing, and he's going, you know, but it's a con. It's fraud. I don't know how to get the police involved, but they need to be aware that this hustle's going down. I guess maybe we'll work on that. So, remember that. One other thing. I know I'm eating up airtime. I kind of want to thank you guys. There's so many people I've met over the years, and people are so gracious and kind and appreciative. And, you know, I started this show like 15 years ago just specifically because there was Goldline on the radio, the American Advisor with Joe Battaglia, and people, you know, it was good information, it was fun, it was just good. He'd let people call in sometimes that weren't the brightest, but I think that was by design too, and they'd talk about how they just bought a bunch of coins and who their account executive was, and, you know, they did a ton of business. Goldline's no small thing. They ended up having a major class action lawsuit for defrauding people over the phone. It was a wire fraud, they called it, or whatever it is. If you defraud somebody on a phone or you cross state lines, it becomes a federal thing. They had to pay out a tremendous amount of money. I knew they had to pay out $26 million up front and then more down the road, and then pay for an FBI agent to be in their presence and listen to their calls for 5 years. When I got on the air, I was just there to educate people because every day almost we had people coming in with these portfolios, but they really weren't portfolios because Goldline sold generic stuff, you know, Swiss 20 francs, you know, they all kinds of, they loved NGC $20 Saints, the 1908 no mottos for quite a while, and they were into proof foreign gold. They find stuff that's dated old, it looks good, and seems like it should cost a lot more than gold, and it shouldn't, and then they mark it up two or three times, and then they get people's amounts of money. There was one guy, here. I won't tell you who he was, but he's very profound. He owns a ton of very well-known businesses, a franchise. And he spent an insane, exorbitantly unbelievable amount of money with them. And he, you know, he was a power hitter. He went back after him. And he was able to recuperate a chunk, a fair amount, but he had a lot of horsepower. The guy is worth a ton of dough, and he was very well connected. But so many people aren't like that. And I've seen in this business, I hate to spook you, but I've just seen a lot of bad things. This business, to be run properly, is reserved for a certain person of a certain spirit. You have to understand, and God prepared my heart so well for this. He built all of my education and background and accomplishments led up to the ownership of this business, and I'm very, very thankful for it. I mean, it's, you know, I was in banking, so it was all thin to win. I understood margins and small margins, and I understood moving large amounts of money for a small profit. And my attitude is I look at the profit, not the dollar amount. You know, it's just you're making money, keep going. And the bottom line to me is I want to be able to service as many customers positively as possible. We like to buy coins and collections and estates, mainly because I'm a diehard addicted collector. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there that isn't rare, a ton. Trust me, coins aren't rare. Rare coins are rare. But, you know, we try to be really fair and honest on that. Sometimes my guys who've never been elsewhere start, they just don't realize it. And then they'll see other people's bids come through and stuff. And they're like, wow, you know, why do you pay so much? Well, I just, you know, we want our margins to be tight and fair, but we also stand behind what we do, and it's important that we do that. I know, well, we'll leave it at that. I just want to thank you. People have been so complimentary and gracious. I don't prepare for the show. I'm going to be honest with you. I just don't. I mean, I'm working crazy hours. If you guys even saw some of the hours I put in to get through stuff here, it's crazy. Everything takes long. I got a kid I'm working with who's been here a few months, and he's about 22, and the other night he goes, man, this stuff takes a long time. I'm like, tell me about it. Like, every project just takes forever. It's just the nature of the beast, and I won't go into the details why. It's boredom, but so I work tremendous hours, and so I've done well in life. God's been very good to me, and he gave me the financial understanding, so I've done, you know, okay with myself. I mean, I've made mistakes, too. I've bought into bad investments when I really won't leave my arena now. I know what I do. I sure as heck wouldn't be in the stock market right now. I know people are like, but it's coming back and but this and but that. Folks, we got such a rocky road ahead. I mean, you don't even know. Trust me. It's just common sense. Everything, you know, I remember back what it reminds me of, what's going on right now, what it reminds me of is the dot-com craze. So I studied mathematics and statistics and economics, and one of my roommates became a PhD in economics and a doctor, and he ended up working on the Consumer Price Index board. Well, the Consumer Price Index, the CPI, is what they use to dictate and determine what inflation is, hypothetically. And trust me, hypothetically is where it ends, because it's been maimed. It got really, Reagan messed with it a little bit, and I can't really tell you why. Reagan also created the plunge protection team, the PPT, where when the markets go down at night, they literally infuse Federal Reserve dollars into specific stocks that are in the Dow and elsewhere, primarily the Dow, to prop the index up. Fact. This is totally normal. And their attitude is like, hey, you know, the Fed's got money and they need to put it somewhere, so they might as well put it in those companies. Because, after all, they're good companies because they're in the Dow. And let's look at it backwards. Well, after all, they're in the Dow because the Fed prints money out of thin air and keeps jamming it into them every time they start coming apart at the seams. And it keeps their numbers artificially propped up, so that everybody thinks the stock market's doing way better than it is. Based on, they pick 30 stocks, 30 companies out of millions to call the Dow. And everybody's like, oh, the market went up 285 points yesterday. Well, you know, when the Dow's at 30,000 points, 283 points. You know, that's one, not even 1% or whatever. And yeah, we've had big up days and big down, record ups and record downs, and it's been crazy, and it is not over. So I'm just telling you, my advice, honestly, is if you're in that game and you're like, well, it came back, my money came back, I haven't got my statement yet. Well, get online and watch your statement. You know, but I was talking to a gal last night. She's fairly well, you know, she's set. She's a widow, and her husband left her some. And she's kind of semi-retired a lot due to medical stuff and whatnot. But she says to me, I said, well, how you been doing? And she's got a tremendous portfolio with us, substantial. And then she draws out of it as she needs. And I said, well, how you doing on your other money? And she's like, well, Kevin, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's just, and there's a guy in town who's just the nicest Christian man. And I kind of, I fell for it a while ago too. And he, you know, he works for this big bank corp. I think he might've moved and went on his own, but he's just the nicest guy you've ever met in your whole life. And it's just, And he's not. He's so nice. It's impossible to be that nice as a human being, trust me. But he's so nice, and he just, from the time she got all this money, he has had her in this continuous state of slow erosion, you know. And, oh, yes, there's up months and there's down. And during this mess, or during Trump's, you know, ongoing stock rally, when she should have been killing it, no, not really. And then losing when she should be winning. And then she tells me last night about he's left a substantial portion of her money in a hedge fund. So when this ups, you know, when the market's moving up, she's moving down. And I'm like, why would you be in a hedge fund? She has a substantial amount of precious metals into the seven figures and rare coins. That's a hedge. You don't need a hedge fund, but basically she's just, this is what's going on with a lot of the brokerages and a lot of the games. They're so good at it. Trust me, I've been Series 6 and 7 licensed. I used to manage and people and teach people in the bank from a sales perspective how to do that kind of stuff. And I just understand the game all too well. It's just not what it appears to be. You have money and you think, well, I need to go see a financial advisor. Do you think God made it that way? I mean, look at what money is from God's perspective. It's a necessity. It's a mandatory part of life. And it is an absolute reflection of who you are. It says everything about you. You may not want to look at it because you have a potentially a victim's mentality and you don't have any control. Everything just happens to you. Well, the thing is, if you make impulsive decisions, you know, you're going to reap what you sow. That's why you plan ahead. You prepare ahead. You have your heart set. You have your standards set. If you operate or function by or react based upon your emotions, you're going to do the same thing over and over again. As soon, and some people say, no, I'm going to change. I'm going to do it different. But they don't have a plan. You got to have a plan. Our neural pathways learn behavior. Learned behavior can only be changed by, it really boils down to us. Even when God intervenes, I mean, we still have free will. God can change hearts. We know that. But we can lead the cause of a changed heart and change activities and get God's support. The Bible is very clear. You know, the old people used to say, God helps those who help themselves. Well, there's a ton of truth to that. God can bless your actions. God can bless your path. I mean, that's what he does and will do, and he tells you that. He'll bless the righteous, hands down. But you got to prepare yourself mentally. If you're broke, you know, you establish a habit. I've heard people say, I can't save anything. I don't make any money. Can you save a buck a week? Can you save $5 a month? You know, the point isn't that maybe the $5 isn't going to amount to what you want, but you're starting the habit. You're training your mind. It depends on what you make. Come in every month and buy 2 ounces of silver or whatever. And then you build the habit. You're training yourself. And then you start to pay attention mentally to how much you have saved. And it becomes a significant part of your life and thought process. And then you just might get like what happened to me back when I was a young pup, I guess, in the world and banking and stuff, is you get a little bit addicted to that. You start thinking, you know, I could go without this month and buy that. Or I was getting paid by the bank every 2 weeks. So I'd get my budget set up. Every 2 weeks is 26 paychecks a year, right? There's 12 months in a year. So I'd get myself set up so I could live on the two paychecks a month. That's 24 paychecks a year. And then that 25th and 26th paycheck I'd put straight into savings. And I just started building that way, and it gets a thought process going, and not everybody has that. And it just it helped us build a very nice nest egg over time under financial circumstances that literally said it was impossible. I'd always have one car paid for, kind of a junker in a lot of cases because it had, you know, but not a junker. I'd get like a Nissan Sentra or something, you know, that my wife could drive. It was the least reliable. And then I'd have like a Maxima or whatever. Over the years, I've had all kinds of cars, but stuff that, you know, and I'd get a basic model but I was driving a lot with the bank and on the road and, you know, et cetera. But I'd have a little payment on it or something. I'd save up as much as I could down. I'd get the base model. Never, ever, by the way, when you go into and buy a car through a dealership, understand that they get reserve on interest rates. So shop your interest rate. Don't just shop the car, shop the interest rate, which means know what car rates are at. If you got a credit union or something, get ready, you know, pre-plan that. Or if the dealer can match it, which is not usually the case. And then you also want to have yourself completely prepared to deny all of the crazy back-end stuff they sell. They sell everything from extended warranties, and I'll talk about that real quick, and I'll get going. But, you know, all kinds of life and disability insurance and gap insurance. Gap insurance means if you wreck your car and you owe more than it's worth, the gap will pick up the difference. Without going into a lot of detail, folks, that turns into a mess. And not only the likelihood of that happening to you and your insurance company not taking care of you is ridiculous, it is unlikely, because when you wreck a car, don't please, but if you happen to owe more than that, than the car's worth, the insurance company doesn't care. That's not their point. They're just there to replace the vehicle, okay? And there is gap insurance through your auto carrier if you want it. And it's so much cheaper than the auto dealer will charge you because it's just a big profit pool for them. But typically you don't need that. They'll sell you all the 3M, you know, wraps and coats and waxes and, you know, all that stuff. I was involved in all that. I did that and then managed it. I hated it. It's just not really a good use of money. And then people finance it and their loan balance goes through the roof and their payments go up. But most of us sadly think in a payment form, what's my payment going to be? What's my payment going to be? That's not the way you think about it. You deal with the sale one by one. You get the right car or the right house or whatever. And you separately shop for the right loan if you have to have it. Make sure if you do need debt on a vehicle or something, don't go beyond your means. Don't stretch too far. Keep the term as short as you can. Don't stretch it way out. There's a lot of cases where dealers will say, well, we can either give you 0% interest on that or like a $2,500 rebate. I can't tell you how many people will go, I'll take the 0% interest. They don't even calculate what the interest would be. They don't even know. And I'm not kidding you. I mean, people just, they don't even say, well, what's the payment? You know, they don't think, what's my bank or credit union charge? You know, and if they're borrowing, I mean, these days the value of cars is so expensive. I'll just run a payment as an example. Let's see. I don't know what car rates are, but if you had $25,000 financed on 72 months, which, by the way, the other scandal is that people don't keep their cars full term. But, you know, some do. Everyone says they're going to, and you might say I do, but most don't. Usually it's 3 years and et cetera. But you're at like $390 a month at 4% for 6 years on $25,000. If you borrow that same money at essentially 0%, it drops your payment down around $340. Saves you $60 a month. But you have to remember, that's $50 or $60 a month in interest over 6 years. Okay, 6 times 72. You're looking at about over $5,000 in interest, right? But if you get a $2,500 rebate, and then you finance it outside of the dealer through like your credit union or bank, it's $2,500 that you're not paying interest on. Your principal balance starts lower. You owe less money all the way along. Your finance charges on that, you're going to end up saving another, you know, $800. And rates are low right now. You'll save an $800-$900 in interest or whatever. And by the way, that whenever they do the 0%, they don't give you up to 6 years or 72 months. It's usually 48 months. Or they'll do a 0.9% up to 5 years or whatever. But you're always better off owing less and getting a good rate from your bank. That way you're liquid. You want to have an assets versus liabilities variable going there. So there you be on that. Just, you want to be wise financial stewards. God gave us money as a very profound, significant aspect of our lives. It's a struggle. It really talks about who we are, doesn't it? And how many people do you think that are very, very successful, self-made, how many of those people do you think have a victim's mentality? Okay. And I want to get to that here. I want to talk about the victim's mentality, but first I want to rattle off a little bit of what's going on out there. Some things that are coming to my mind that I'm seeing in the news and that, you know, they're just not right and they concern me. So let me grab it. I want to read. Okay, here we go. I love these Face ID phone things, right? They are like, who are you? I'm like, hey, I'm the guy that owns the phone. Did you forget again? And then you have to try over and over. I love it. So, Governor Jay Inslee, Mr. Wonderful. By the way, if you think about it, the whole liberal movement and mentality, and as you go further down the latter into the more radical groups, the more demanding groups, it's all built based on a victim's mentality, okay? And you might be going, well, yeah, okay, or no, or whatever. What is a victim's mentality? A victim's mentality is basically the attitude of powerlessness. It's essentially saying, I have no control over my life. You have no control over yours. They think everything just happens to poor old me. We have no control. We don't ask, how can we, you know, how can I improve this situation? How, you know, you think of people in dysfunctional relationships. They have a minor dispute. And one person tends to react, okay? Well, the other person, after a while, is going to start to react to their reactions because it's frustrating. And then all of a sudden, you get a buildup of tension and discomfort and way overblown responses to irrelevant issues. And if it's the same old, you know, repetitive behavior and no one's making efforts to change or they're not getting outside help or seeking God and everything else, it just escalates. It gets worse and worse and worse until they're fighting and bickering and treating each other bad. Or the other thing too, folks, is emotion. again, I talked about that earlier. Emotion. It's letting your emotions drive you. They're bad. Emotions are trouble. hang on here. I had to do something real quick. Believe it or not, I had to respond to something important. So emotions drive us. That is the victim's mentality. You have no control. You make me mad. You've probably heard these things. Your emotions are real, but your behavior is always a choice. God holds you accountable 100% for what you do with what he gives you. He says trials and tribulations are going to come. You're supposed to rejoice all the time. You're supposed to be doers of the word, not hearers only. We're supposed to be thankful as God continues to test and try us and refine us. And that's when we can grow. I can tell you when I'm talking about relationships, marriage. A lot of people say, well, marriage is, you know, for fulfillment. True. But it's also a refinement. If you meet people that have never been married, as they get to certain ages, you can talk to them. They'll tell you. They can't get married. I mean, I've had customers and friends that are in their 50s that have never been married. They get so set in their ways, and they know it, that they can't adapt. Add to that, if you get married and you have kids, there's nothing like it. It's a combo. You love the kids. You sacrifice for them. You do anything for them. But you get malleable and moldable, and you continuously stay in a state of change. If you are in a state of change, you will continue to change through the end. There's been studies on this. And a lot of guys who are, you know, in certain forms of like interactive relational stuff, business-wise, not just sales. A lot of guys in sales can just get settled. They can become a can. But if you're in a constant state of alertness and awareness and self-improvement and not a poor me and you don't know what I've been through in life, folks, I'll tell you what. You come to me with your sob story. I can, you know, in a way I'm a little bit like Paul, but I'm not going there too bad. But I can probably trump most of your events. I want my life and my upbringing and the things I went through and was exposed to and where I lived and a lot of things. And, you know, I won't go down the list. And after that, and, you know, my wife's with disease and kids at 20 and going to college full time, not borrowing money and, you know, working full time and, you know, again, dealing with severe chronic illness and, et cetera, not having anybody behind me financially. Whatever, but also a lot of other things too. But it's like I could sit there and say, poor me, poor me, poor me, but I'm not gonna. I don't, you know, that's terrible. It's like, thank you, God. Thank you so much for putting me through that and refining me. And it's one of those things where you ask people the three most significant events of their lives that have formed them as a person. And if they're sincere, all those events will appear traumatic, uncomfortable, things they would not want to go through again, but if they handle them properly and learn from them, they'll tell you they wouldn't want to trade them, right? I've heard people say, what I went through, I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy, but I wouldn't give it up because it formed, God used it to form who I am. That, my friends, is not a victim's mentality. Then you get the people that are like, they all want to tell you how bad their mom or dad was and how they were mistreated and, you know, you don't know how bad my brother or my sister was to me or and what happened to me. And I understand there's traumatic bad things and those do help assist in forming who we are. But they don't dictate our outcome or our destiny. God gives us a set of skills and abilities referred to probably in the parable of talents, right? He's got a plan for every one of us. You might think, you know, when people say, well, Billy Graham says, God has a plan for your life. Well, he does. But it's even more complex. It's like he gave you, he made you. You're not an accident. It's not just a random chance of, you know, genetics coming together. God knows each and every one of us. He knows every hair on our head. He knows every single breath we take. The number of our days, he knows it all. Completely knows it all. And he has a plan. He's probably not, like, he doesn't sit back there and go, oh, no, darn it. Do you see what just happened to Fred and Mary down there? It's over. They're done. Darn it. I wish I could have controlled that, but I couldn't. I don't think God thinks that way. A lot of times, he makes a wonderful, wonderful stew. He gives you your talents and abilities, and then he puts you in an environment that dictates a certain set of circumstances that are going to affect who you are. Some of the trauma, trials, and tribulations you go through are made to help amplify that and improve that or guide you certain ways or give you thinking, get you thinking at times you need to be thinking. So if we believe in God, trust in God, and walk with God, we shun the victim's mentality. Victim's mentality doesn't mean you're a victim. I actually learned about victim's mentality 1 year. I had an employee for a number of years, and every year I'd do the year in review, and it never did any good. And 1 year I was praying and asking. I'd written all this stuff up, and I thought, you know what, Lord, this isn't going to work. It never works. It doesn't matter. I didn't know the person I learned later had Asperger's, which would have been nice. I didn't even know what that was at the time. But I prayed, and I heard victim's mentality, and I'm like, what? What is that? And I looked it up, and sure enough, it's a real thing. There's more scientific information on it, but, you know, I just grabbed a website or something here, and it says, are you or is someone you love playing the victim? Here are some signs to look for. It says, constantly blaming other people or situations for feeling miserable, right? You make me feel. You make me mad. You make me sad. That made me mad. That made me sad. Folks, there's miracle story after miracle story that people have the greatest attitudes. We're all made different. We have different levels of serotonin and dopamine and all that stuff. I agree. But we can keep our attitude positive. People don't make us miserable. We make ourselves miserable. It's our choice. We're accountable. And even if they could, we still have to obey God's word. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. When did he say to rejoice? Always. You know, it says you possess a life is against me philosophy. Now, we've all been there. I'm not going to tell you I haven't been there. I've been like, are you kidding me? You know, but God will build you up. When I was young and I'd have one major crisis in my day, oh my gosh, stress, you know. And then I became the youngest promoted manager in a massive bank corporation. And boy, the pressure was on. And then things just, you know, they were uncomfortable a lot. And then but you get where you can juggle one things, two things, three things, five things, 10 things. I was talking to a friend's stepdaughter a while ago. And there's a terrible victim's mentality there. I mean, that whole thing is going on really bad. And I was talking to her about this exact thing. It's like, it's just the, oh, poor me, and everything's going wrong. And it's like, no, you're making your own. And she'd make terrible decisions because she just felt sorry for herself. Her mom would feel sorry for her. And they just feed on this, oh, poor baby, 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 instead of empowering. But then the mom, there's so many things she won't do and doesn't do. You know, she won't do the dishes, she won't clean, and she makes her husband do it all because she's not good at it. Well, how in the heck do you think you'd be good at it? You know, not by doing nothing. And that's what we have to do, is we have to act. God blesses our actions. He appreciates them. Folks, if you get confused, if you're not dysfunctional, just think about your own child. We're children of God. If you're a believer, a Christian, you're the child of the living God. He views you like you would your child. You are proud of them when they go out and try. You don't punish your children for really trying sincerely, giving it their best. I always tell my kids, all I ask is you try your hardest. Because you know what? I know that if they truly try their hardest, they'll succeed. Will you fail? Yeah, if you want to use that word. The most successful people have failed the most. And that's the bottom line. But they just don't consider it failure. They're roadblocks and challenges. And then it says, you're cynical or pessimistic. One of the signs of a victim's mentality is people when people get really negative and nasty, derogatory. I've had occasionally people call me up, and not very often, but recently, just super cynical and pessimistic. That's their I know at the time. They're suffering from a victim's mentality. And the other thing is that, you know, Proverbs 18:2, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. That also seems to be a contributing factor to the victim's mentality. I can't tell you why, because it's a fool. They don't want to hear. They don't want advice because they're not taking accountability and responsibility for their lives. And if their attitude's just crud cakes all the time, first of all, if your attitude's like that all the time, don't tell people you're a believer. Bow out. I mean, don't let them know, because you're really not a good ambassador for the kingdom of Christ, which is what we're supposed to be. A step before, ahead from that, I'm not calling for perfection. I don't buy into that a bit. God loves our hearts, right? God hears our hearts, sees our hearts. That's what matters. So it's not about, when I have my life like this, then I can go to church. God sees you where you're at. He wants you today, in the condition you're in today. Only He can, if you yield, can truly change that. And then it goes on, you see your problems as catastrophes and blow them out of proportion. Kind of like I was saying earlier about, you know, people that are so combative in conversation. Just overreacting, victim's mentality. You know, some people, you get super sad and frustrated at your life. You know, somebody might lose their job or whatever, and maybe they deserved it, but they don't want to look. They don't want to say, what did I do? How can I change? You know, that's the most important thing. How can I change me? What can I do about my environment? And then it's not a catastrophe, because you get so frustrated with what's going on around you, or where you're at in life. Well, maybe you're not, maybe God didn't want you to go where you think you're supposed to go. Maybe God didn't, you know, if you're like, well, you know, someday I'm going to be a world-class writer, and I'm going to have 6 PhDs in, you know, some kind of aeronautics or whatever. I mean, maybe that's not what God made you for. Maybe God made you for something else, and maybe you don't want to do it because you got some kind of bitterness or something. I don't know. But I'm telling you, that you can't live that way. You just got to, I mean, if you free flow with God, you're going to end up where you need to be. Christ said that He came that we may have life and have it abundantly. Being a victim's mentality is not abundantly. And it goes on, you think others are purposely trying to hurt you. You know, again, it's like a form of paranoia after all. They, you know what that comes from? To a thief, everyone's a thief. Our spirit, our perspective, and our outlook on life, we project. In studies, they've shown a spouse who cheats 68% of the time assumes their spouse is cheating. And in most cases, it's not the case, in almost all cases. And it's like, it says you're being targeted for mistreatment. You keep reliving the past painful memories that made you feel like a victim. And even when things go right, you find something to complain about. You refuse to consider other people's perspectives when talking about your problems. You feel, and by the way, if someone has real concerns in their lives, don't ram cold advice down their throat and just say, well, just do this. When people really are suffering, be empathetic. Sympathy is pathetic. That means you think, oh, you're pathetic. That's what sympathy does, unfortunately. Sympathy. Empathy means you are trying to connect with them and feel with them. So that's important. You feel powerless and unable to cope effectively with a problem or life in general. You feel attacked when you're given constructive criticism. Have you ever watched some of these liberals? You believe you're not responsible for what happens in your life. Others are. You believe others are better off than you. That's why the liberals want to copy other countries. Victim's mentality. But okay, it's got to be Trump's fault. And here it says you seem to enjoy feeling sorry for yourself. You attract people like you who complain, blame, and feel victimized by life. Hey, we got some different groups out there like that, don't we? Antifa. You believe the world is a scary, mostly bad place, Antifa, and others. I think, might be there. You enjoy sharing your tragic stories with other people. You have a habit of blaming, attacking, and accusing those you love for how you feel. You feel powerless to change your circumstances. You expect to gain sympathy from others, and when you don't, you feel upset. You refuse to analyze yourself or improve your life. That's another key. And you tend to one-up people whenever it comes to sharing traumatic experiences. Oops, I said I could do that. That wasn't good. Ha! Okay. You're constantly putting yourself down. Don't do that. You're God's creation, God's child. You don't trash talk who God made you. You make the best out of it. It's a gift to God. What made me think of this? All right, here we go. Not only, well, that's what we're dealing with everywhere all the time. I got a little bit of time left, and here I go. Let's see. Inslee, J. Inslee, our governor, quote today. So, I don't know if you saw, 5,300 employees of the government won't be getting their raises. He's asking them to take furlough days where they can't work and they have to eat up vacation time and stuff. And now everyone's going to pay. Why? He says, COVID-19 has hit our state hard and our economy has taken a severe hit as a result. First of all, COVID-19 has hit our state hard, okay? Has it? I mean, I'm sure we say there's X number of thousand deaths and all this. By the way, few are documented and tested positive, but there's also coronaviruses everywhere. Well, that's why 1 out of 4 people now are testing positive for it. That's why they backed off on the testing, because they started to get all these asymptomatic cases. What? You've got it. You've got it. You've got it. You've never felt sick. You're not contaminating other people. And then the World Health Organization and CEO or CDC came out and said asymptomatic cases are not contagious. And the media flipped out them and said, no, you're ruining our agenda. Fix it. And she came out and said, well, that's only in the case of specific studies. And they went, okay, that's okay, meaning their IQ is down at the floor because, of course, it's in studies. That's where you find out. So, but anyway, COVID-19 hasn't ruined our state. Governor Jay Inslee has. I mean, we're in the middle of June, and he's got a shutdown. He's still playing all these games. People need to just stand up and rebel. There's precedent out there. The courts can't lock you up. They can't do anything. Get out there and live your life. Go do something. If you're a business owner, open back up. Don't be flagrant and taunt the law. Just do what's right. People run around in masks, terrified. Oh no, I'm going to get so sick. And they've said, even if you're young, it doesn't affect you anyway, even if you get the bad one, which the bad one's another story. It's possibly a strain for sure made at the Wuhan lab, but it was released. It's just an altered genetically modified form of coronavirus that they put out there to attack their enemies and scare people, and they did propaganda. Gates had his pandemic movie after he put out Event 201 to take in all the health professionals to get everybody scared. They set all this stuff up intentionally. So it says, he says, he continues, he goes, COVID-19, in other words, me, Mr. Inslee, has hit our state hard, and our economy has taken a severe hit as a result. These are very difficult decisions, but they are necessary to address the financial shortfall that we're facing. So here's the thing. It's such difficult decisions. It was so difficult, wasn't it, Jay, to shut down our government? And now it's so difficult to take away people's incomes and keep the government shut down for no good reason. Folks, you might think I'm crazy. I don't buy it. This is a big scam and a sham. We have gotten to the place Inslee has ruined the state's economy. No one else. COVID has hurt nothing. Yes, some people die with it. We don't have much evidence of people dying from it. We've got the CDC or WHO diagnoses, number one, tested positive. Number two, this is how you can put it on a death certificate. or even consider them as having it in a hospital environment. Number one, they tested positive. Well, that's less than 2% for the first couple months. Number two, they have the symptoms. They're symptomatic. Number three, clinically presumptive. That means an expert said. Number four, epidemiological. That means they could have been exposed to it. That's all they need to call it COVID. I'm telling you, it's a lie. It's all a lie to attack Trump. And I'm out of time almost, which stinks because I wanted to cover John Bolton, the national security advisor. While Trump's still in office, writes a book, running the guy down. The guy's just nasty. I've watched him over the years. He's just nasty. All these people around him who've known him and propagated him, you know, he said Trump wooed him into the position. You get the Mark Levins and you get all these heavy hitters out there that he was calling up trying to get them to help the president hire him as a national security advisor. Then he gets in there and he argues with Trump and he doesn't do it. And he said, well, Trump did this because he wanted to get reelected. Well, you know, I'm not sure that's accurate, but the thing is, John Bolton wants to nuke Iran. I don't know why he was ever there. What a nasty person. Trump's still in office. He's the president of the United States. Bolton comes out with a book, gets a $2 million advance. Now they're saying they're releasing the book because they need a clearance on the book, according to his contract, but the government's taking too long, so they're going to do it anyway. I mean, folks, this is terrible. And he's saying it's not confidential. He took way more notes than James Comey took them, and now he's writing everything. You don't think the President of the United States should expect 100% confidentiality for a lifetime when he meets with people about the most sensitive international and foreign relations to our nation? I think so. So anyway, I had a lot more. The internet's made us way too accepting and believing of what we don't see, folks. Be skeptical, be wise. Get yourself secured. Build a portfolio, I'm telling you. Start saving every month, every week, whatever. Be wise. You'll never fail. Or you'll never disappoint God, I suppose, or yourself. So anyway, and of course, if you can help us get positive reviews online, give us 3 nice 5 stars, and we'll give you 2 nice Morgans. And you just call us and we'll verify it. Thanks again for tuning in. Take care. God bless and have a wonderful evening. Bye-bye.